This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, before we power rank the power rankings, a congratulations is in order. Texans co-founder and senior chair, Janice McNair, the matriarch of the Houston Texans football franchise, she will be receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award at the 2025 Houston Sports Awards ceremony.
Awesome.
Recognizing her role in bringing the NFL football back to Houston and her involvement in the community.
Which is good. It was nice to see her out there at Andre's induction.
Oh, the ring presentation.
Yeah. She was out there at midfield.
That was
for
very
that presentation.
Cool.
Andre gave her a nice hug.
Yep.
That was really nice.
That was excellent. So, and I believe John Lopez was the one that that shared that news with her, that she was getting that honor.
She's been, which Houston Texans are in the Houston Sports Hall of Fame? Is it just Andre at this point?
I think it's just Andre at this point.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I believe so.
So, okay, good. That'll be nice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
When is it this year?
Well, the ceremony, it's usually in January or February.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the exact date. But that's very well deserved.
I've told you before, it was really cool the first time Bob McNair addressed the team in 2002. It was really interesting the way he presented to us. He told the story of just why he owns a football team now. Mm-hmm. And it was one that was basically sounded like civic duty almost. Like don't make any bones about it. He was going to make some money on the Texans. He knew that. But that it's not like it was his dream to own a football team or anything, but he realized after the Oilers left and all these other teams were cities were being mentioned about possible places and nobody was really doing anything to get the Texans to get the next franchise here. He said, "All right, well, I guess it's me. I guess I got some time on my hands and a big wad of cash. Let's do this."
Well,
thing.
And I think
he said that exactly. He said, "And fellas, I said, let's do this thing."
He could say it in such a way you'd be like, yeah.
It would actually sound like South Carolina more than,
Mix in, Bob McNair would have been able to mix in the words wads of cash.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been like, man, that is awfully genteel right there.
Yeah.
It is very elegant. They have conducted themselves as a franchise in that way that you're talking about. Like the civic duty part of it is huge with the Texans. And that's a big reason why Janice McNair is getting the Lifetime Achievement Award. If you're just tuning in, 2025 Houston Sports Awards ceremony, they will celebrate Janice McNair. So we look forward to that, and congratulations to Janice and the McNair family. Let's get to the power ranking.
She was my first person that I'd met where I'm like, oh, these super rich people can be like way different than they're characterized in political ads.
She is. She's so nice.
Or political cartoons, I guess. Yeah. She's just the nicest lady.
She is. I the video of her when they hired D'Amico and D'Amico visited her at their home.
Yeah.
It's one of the coolest things, man. It was just so very cool to see. Power ranking the power rankings. How is D'Amico Ryan's football team doing? Well, let's take a look. We've got four different power rankings that we use for this in no specific order yet. CBSSports.com, TheAthletic.com, ESPN.com, and SI.com. Coming in fourth, they rank the Texans 11th. SI.com. Here's what they say, Seth.
What's the AI-generated blurb say?
For the last 2 weeks, defenses have been coming at C.J. Stroud and exposing some serious soft spots in the Houston offensive line. That is true. Stroud is the fourth most pressured quarterback in the NFL, and while he's Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson good against muddy backfields this season, there has to be a reason why so many opposing coordinators think this is the way to finally break Houston's offense. Of course, with another potentially significant injury to the team's receiving core, of course, he's referring to Stephon Diggs, who we have no update on yet, it could soon be open season on this unit.
Right. So, again, I told you I had a discussion with Robert Land yesterday about just like how much of the focus should be on the offensive line in general versus just focus on Kenyon Green.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenyon Green is the biggest blemish right now. And there are some of the protections that they're using are almost completely to help out Kenyon Green, I think, and it makes it harder for tight ends and running backs. I think at this point, where you get to this point in the season, you can swap out Kenyon Green, you can figure some things out there. There are other issues in pass protection that I think need to be solved by basically C.J. Stroud and the quick game. And some of the things that we started to see last week where either you're rolling C.J. out in running boots or you're getting the tight ends involved. You're seeing all of these things this year in the NFL, these simulated blitzes where you got everybody stacked up at the line of scrimmage. There are, if you spend too much time trying to figure out who's blitzing and who's not, you'll get paralysis by analysis. Some of it is simply there's soft spots there in the first 10 yards when you've got everybody stacked up at the line of scrimmage. It's really hard for those guys to get out to their spots, those linebackers to get out to their spots in zone coverage. You've got to start exposing some of that. And I think they've made some good inroads into that in the last couple weeks. It's just got to be more of a steady diet of it and with a little bit more consistency. But without fixating on just Kenyon Green of the offensive line in general, there have just been a lot of breakdowns in pass protection in general with everybody charged with pass blocking.
I agree. All right, let's get to a power ranking outlet number three. SI.com was number four. Number three on the list is CBSSports.com. No, not CBSSports.com. Sorry, TheAthletic.com has the Texans rated sixth overall. And I am pulling up The Athletic on my phone because we've had bad Wi-Fi here today.
So I think they've got them ranked fifth overall.
Oh, they've got them fifth. Yeah, sorry. I'm still a mess from our
not having internet.
Internet. Oh, yeah, it is CBS Sports. CBSSports.com. Yeah. Okay, the CBSSports.com has them fifth, too. I thought it said sixth. Here we go. I'll put CBSSports.com third. They have them fifth. They're winning games, but do they look that good in doing so? It just hasn't been as crisp as expected this season. Yeah.
I think the biggest surprise and the kind of the gap in how things look statistically and where the team actually is, I would say, is with the defense, where statistically in a lot of ways they're a top five defense, but when it comes to opponent points per game, which isn't all on the defense, but that's how things feel. And, you know, the Texans have been dealt some short fields at times defensively. They're 15th. In points allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And offensively, they're right hovering around the middle there, too. That's a point.
When you only score points in one half of the game,
yes,
that'll happen.
I mean, this is the problem with the Texans right now, where, yes, they're statistically, they're in the top of the NFL in some categories defensively. They've got some good stats offensively. And yet, at the end of the day, the one advanced stat that matters the most, how many points do you score?
Yeah.
They're middle of the pack offensively and defensively.
Yep.
And their scoring differential right now is right around 10 plus 10, mm-hmm, points. So that's where they're very much capable of just fixing a few things and becoming a much more powerful football team. But right now, in a lot of ways, they're operating like a 500 football team.
Yeah. If you, I also went to Pro Football Focus yesterday just to look at where their regular players that have enough snaps rank at their position. They've only got a few players that are in like the top 15 to 20% at their position right now. For a 6-2 team, and I know Pro Football Focus is not the gospel or anything, but I think
when you start to look at like the thing in the aggregate.
You aggregate everything about a team, they've got individual player-wise, and maybe this is a compliment to D'Amico and the coaching staff, is that the whole record-wise is greater than at least what Pro Football Focus thinks is the sum of the parts.
Yeah.
The only players they've got, from what I recall yesterday, that were near the top of their position, both defensive ends are in the top 15, thereabouts, out of 120 of them in the NFL. Azeez Alshire has been a very good inside linebacker, according to Pro Football Focus, and C.J. Stroud is the eighth-rated quarterback right now in the league. Beyond that, it's a lot of guys who are in the kind of mid-range. There's a few guys that are buried deep. Kenyon Green is literally rated the worst guard in football right now.
Sometimes when the O-line propaganda machine gets fired up, they'll bring up Laramie Tunsil's pass protection grade
yesterday
on PFF, or Titus Howard's pass grade on PFF. I'm like, okay, if we're playing the PFF game, PFF also has them as total players ranked middle of the pack.
Yes.
Laremy Tunsil is the 32nd highest rated offensive tackle in football right
where's
now.
Where's he on the pay scale?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So if we're going to play the PFF game, let's point out the total picture and not cherry pick here. Those guys have been in the middle of the road. Run blocking matters.
Yep.
And especially on this football team and with this offensive coordinator, and they've been middle of the pack. So again, I don't buy into the grades 100%, but if you're going to play that game, Don't cherry pick. Tell it like it is. That there's more to it than just their PFF pressures allowed score.
Agreed. So number four, SI.com. Number three, CBSSports.com. Number two, The Athletic also has the Texans fifth. And their category for a topic this week with each team is something scary. Probably because it's Halloween in 2 days. The scary thing about the Texans, the second year jump has not happened, it says. After C.J. Stroud's debut season, a step forward offensively was baked into the high expectations for the Texans. Instead, Houston's offense has been basically the same and maybe a little worse.
Yeah.
The Texans were 20th in offensive success rate in 2023. This year, they are 28th. That means just the percentage of plays that do what you're supposed to do on those plays, basically. Stroud was 7th in the league in EPA per dropback last season. He slipped to 19th this year. That's expected points added. That's an advanced stat. And yet this team still leads the AFC South by 2 games. Yeah, their defense has been very good.
Right.
When it needs to be.
When it needs to be and situationally. And then starting the most promising thing from the last couple weeks has been that they're starting to create turnovers.
Yes.
And it needs to be that kind of a year. I think that if the Texans are really going to make a push, I'm losing optimism that they're going to turn the corner offensively. I think the defense has shown signs of growth and progress, and the turnovers are one thing that I was waiting on and have started to show up in the last couple weeks. They're looking like a more opportunistic defense. Quick correction. Yeah. Laremy Tunsil, out of 76 offensive tackles, is ranked 23rd on PFF. If you're trying to show how awesome the offensive tackles are and you're only pointing to one PFF score, I counter that with, all right, well, out of Laremy Tunsil's 23rd and Titus Howard is 33rd.
Okay.
If you want to play the PFF game.
Yeah.
So that's not high.
No.
You know?
Well, certainly for Laremy, not where he probably thinks he is, and certainly not near where he's getting paid.
Well,
to
23rd
be.
Out of 76 includes a lot of backup offensive tackles also.
So
23rd probably. Out of 76, all right. There's 64 starting offensive tackles in the league on any given Sunday.
Oh, I'm not sticking up for him. Yeah. Like it's better than where it was though. Like they were further down the list.
I think there were more good examples of good run blocking, like where there were more plays and instances where everybody was doing the right thing in the run game last week, which was encouraging.
Yeah. The one play that I remember, and we'll get to who's number one here in a second. The play where you were talking about before, they were moving the pocket more.
Yeah.
They ran one play where they did the old Kubiak thing where CJ fakes the handoff, stretching left. Everybody goes left and CJ rolls back to the right. He had nobody near him to throw the football, and the crowd cheered that. The crowd was like, oh my God, there's nobody near CJ. Yeah, you could hear the murmur in the crowd that, oh my God, he's not going to get sacked on this play or get hit. And I think there was major disappointment that he didn't take that opportunity to kind of bury his foot and take a shot down the field.
Deep out down
yeah,
there
he
one,
threw
yeah.
it to Stover or Schultz for 6 yards.
This
instead.
Is where I'm in a weird way, in some of those instances, where he's gone to Schultz or somebody where later in the down, Stephon Diggs is clearly open. I'm okay with that right now because a lot of it really does need to be because of the pass protection. CJ's got to if your first read is open and you're not certain about the other ones because you didn't see something that where you know that your second or third read is going to be wide open, take it. You don't turn it down. You got to get rid of the ball. You got to keep moving the chains.
Yep.
When you can't rely on your pass protection.
Number one, power ranking of the power rankings, ESPN.com also has the Texans fifth. So three outlets have them 5. One outlet has them 11th. I want to follow up on that in a second. Their category is best offseason addition. DJ Bieniemy does the blurbs for the Texans here, and he says it's running back Joe Mixon. I'm actually going to let GM Nick Caserio talk about Joe Mixon's impact here.
Joe's been awesome. I think his playing strength and his ability to continually move forward with the ball. I mean, I don't know how many tackles he broke yesterday, but it was a fair amount. So he runs hard. He's in good condition. He gets better as the game goes on. And knock on wood, I'm going to probably put my foot in my mouth, but he takes care of the football. So that's always been something that's a big part of his game. Very versatile, can affect the passing game as well. Anytime you get to the ball, you know, there's a play we got to the ball to him on a perimeter. He's able to turn kind of a nothing play into 8 yards. So Joe's a really good football player. So when he's on the field, he's helped our offense. And, you know, it's credit to him, credit to DB. And it really, it's about his mindset, the way he works. Even you go back and look at training camp, the way he practiced, I mean, he literally would finish every run and sprint to the end zone. So he's been durable. I mean, I know he had the ankle injury, but he's in good condition. He's strong. He's got really good playing strength and he's versatile. So he's been a big asset to the team. There's no question about it.
And I think a big part of him too that's nice is that firsthand feedback he can give the offensive line about what he needs to see, because whenever you're running zone runs, a lot of times things can be blocked perfectly, but it looks messy and sloppy as hell to a running back that doesn't understand the flow of everything. Mm-hmm. And for an offensive lineman, sometimes it's a matter of just getting that little micro hold in at the very end, or just getting a defensive tackle's shoulders turned, even if you don't have a great position on him. And we've seen a lot more evidence of that in the last couple of weeks, of Joe Mixon taking what looks like barely... it's like navigating the Northwest Passage. It's like you're kind of... there's an iceberg there, there's an ice flow, and you got to figure out a way to try to get your way through that. He's way better than Henry Hudson at finding the Northwest Passage. I feel like Joe Mixon could find the Northwest Passage.
I hope
he's
listening right now, so he knows that he's better than Henry Hudson.
Yes.
Good job, Joe.
We're going to have a river named after, or at least a bayou named after Joe Mixon someday.
Yeah. Up next, why Lewis and Clark are C.J. Stroud's bitches.
Yeah.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday.
You're Henry Hudson. What do you like? He failed 5 times to find the Northwest Passage.
That the greats have to fail.
Oh, you found the Hudson River. Ooh, yeah. Was that hard for you? Was that difficult finding the Hudson River?
Yeah. You know what? I feel bad for Mrs. Hudson. Can't find it, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm not even sure it exists, honey.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, we just heard from Nick Caserio on Joe Mixon. Nick Caserio on the offensive line for the Texans. Are Seth and I forwarding a lazy narrative right now?
He called us out.
Yeah, a little bit. We'll have that for you coming up next.